Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. El Día de los Muertos, known as Day of the Dead, is a multi-day tradition. It starts on October 31st and ends on November the 2nd. The celebration has roots that reach back to pre-conquest Americas, and today it's becoming almost vogue, a vogue event with millennials. So is this good or bad for the Day of the Dead? Could it lose some of its authenticity as it becomes swallowed up possibly by the American Halloween or some sort of commercial enterprises? How can San Antonians respectfully take part in El Día de los Muertos? And our guests this afternoon, we're joined by Belinda Menchaca. She is the education director for the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, and Norma Cantu, author, poet, and the Murchison Professor of Humanities and Modern Languages and Literature at Trinity University. And it's great to have you both here this afternoon on this beautiful day.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So Belinda Menchaca, tell me about your explanation. Someone says, I've never heard of this thing, Day of the Dead. What are you doing here?
So at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, we really try to preserve the tradition of building altars. Normally, you know, our ancestors would actually build altars at the cemetery. And on Día de los Muertos, the altars were built for the loved ones with their favorite foods, with their favorite drinks, you know, some of their favorite games, that way that they would come back to the altar and it was a celebration with them. So we take that tradition and we now have altars in our cultural center. So it's symbolizing that same tradition of building the altars for our loved ones. So we have several community altars that are built there in the Guadalupe Galleria, and they're built by different individuals and organizations, and they all, you know, bring back to life the celebration of the life of these people who are loved ones. And they're beautiful symbolic tributes to loved ones, and they're very, very special and personal meaning, but we bring them, you know, to the Guadalupe so that others can enjoy, and so that they can also you know, preserve that tradition. A lot of people are building altars in the home as well. We bring them to the cultural center.
Norma Cantu, have you seen an ebb and flow of the popularity of of Day of the Dead?
Absolutely, and I would trace it back almost 20 or 30 years ago. I'm not sure if it coincided with the designation of Day of the Dead as a World Heritage Site in Mexico by UNESCO, but I have seen it evolve. And when I was living in Kansas City, for example, there were venues out in the community like the Guadalupe where the community artists, just regular folks, would set up altars. But also in the very popular and more elitist sites like the Nelson Atkins Museum. And so it transcends the spaces, and that has been, in my observation, a new trend. So it is no longer just a personal family celebration that you go to the cemetery or that you establish some kind of altar or ofrenda. And there's a difference between the altar and the ofrenda. And the ofrenda is the one that welcomes those ancestors who have passed on to come back. An altar is more like an homage or an honoring of somebody. So there's that distinction. And I have been noticing that trend definitely here in San Antonio. When I was growing up in Laredo, we didn't have them at the home even. We went to the cemetery, and it was a party day on November 2nd, and everybody hung out. We had caña, the reed cane, you know, the very sweet. Oh, my mouth's watering. It was just delicious. And there was a lot of food, a lot of flowers, and honoring of those who had passed, but not in the same way.
How important is it that we draw a line to separate Halloween from Day of the Dead, that people can recognize that these two are not the same?
Yeah, I think it is an important distinction. One is, although they're both rooted in a very similar Christian origin, because Day of the Dead, the first and the second, the first honoring the children that have passed and the second the adults, is the hallowed that was honored in All Hallows' Eve, And so All Saints Day is what was being honored. However, in contemporary times, though, that distinction has fallen by the wayside, and we don't have that rootedness in the traditional Christian celebration. And Halloween has become something totally different, with scary things and black witches and black cats and all this other stuff happening. So I do think that there is a very clear distinction between the two celebrations. I study fiestas and celebrations, and my contention is that fiestas serve a purpose for a community, and Halloween serves a purpose for the United States, because that's where it's mostly practiced, although now it's spreading. You can even find it in Mexico City, jack-o'-lanterns and black cats and all.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I wondered about that. Mm-hmm. So, our number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You're invited to call in and join our conversation as we talk about El Dia de los Muertos. What are your memories? How did your family celebrate it? How are you celebrating it this year? But to that point about Mexico, I wonder about the cultural bleed between the United States and Mexico, and some, and there are traditions go into Mexico just as much as their traditions come into ours. And you want, I worry sometimes. It's like, you know, because the beauty and the cultural integrity, you don't want that to be interrupted.
No, you don't. And on the other hand, you cannot stop it from happening. Whenever two cultures come together, there's going to be some bleed through. And what I have observed is that the influence of Dia de Muertos on the U.S. celebration, and it has spread, is almost parallel to the Halloween celebrations now influencing Mexico. So the kids go around asking for trick or treat.
So, and Belinda, at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, do y'all make sure that you recognize this is not Halloween? This is something different.
Exactly. We try to explain that there are two very, very separate events. I do have friends in Mexico City who their whole office does a costume contest. And this is in Mexico City. This is in an office building. But they are very, very, they define and distinguish the contest and the Halloween celebration from their very personal Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, and I think that's very critical that we recognize, okay, Halloween is about play acting and fantasy and scary monsters and things like that. And it has that scary connotation pretty much. But Day of the Dead is about joy. Correct. And a joyful celebration of life and death. And that is not something that you normally would associate, you know, mix in with the Western concept of how we think about death. So, Dr. Norma Cantu, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And I think it has the origins in indigenous culture in Mexico, where death was not something to be feared. It was not sadness. It was joy. And when you invite those who have passed on, our ancestors, to come back, it is to celebrate. And so there is joy and dancing and music, the foods that they loved. Always there's a little bit of tequila on there, on the ofrenda, so that you have a remembrance of the tradition. For example, most ofrendas and altares, if you go to the Guadalupe or if you go to the Esperanza or any of the other sites in town where they have these altares, you'll notice that there are levels. Well, they correspond to the levels in indigenous cosmology that the soul would have to go through after passing. And so there's significance and relevance to each of those levels and what's placed on each one of those levels. And so what I've seen, and I think part of it from my perspective, because I study fiestas, is that there's a unifying result. People come together for joy, for happiness, around those who have passed. Obviously, we're sad that they have gone, but we celebrate their lives.
Let's go to the phone lines, and the number is 210-614-8980 if you want to call in, like Antonio. Antonio, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just trying to say that this, again, there was reference made that this is pre-conquest by the Spaniards, and that's what it is. It's a voyage to Mictlan. To Mictlan is the place of the dead where we finally rest.
Right.
It takes 4 years to get to, mm-hmm. And there's nine levels or nine
inframundos
for the soul to go through before actual rest comes through. So that's where you get all these masks and all these different ideas that are popping up now.
Mm-hmm. All right, Antonio, thank you so much for the call. And it's how important is it in knowing that cultural background in having a respectful celebration of Dia de los Muertos? And how painful is it for people like Antonio? He sounds like he's somebody who that's very important to him, that if they see the holiday, I don't know if it's cheapened the right word, but through commercial expression, I mean, there are people who feel a deep connection to this, and you have to remember that this is not a toy.
Right. It has been appropriated and commercialized, and I think it really is sad on many levels. And like our caller was saying, the remembrance of the origins and the knowledge, con conocimiento, of where it comes from, I think alleviates some of that. And that's why I think the Guadalupe and Esperanza and all of these other venues where they educate the people who come by are so critical to our community. San Antonio has a very rich, very old history of celebrations, not just religious, but also secular. And I think we have that. We honor where these where the roots of these religious celebrations exist, including the indigenous.
But do you have to say you're not allowed to take part? You know, no cultural appropriation for you. And this is me speaking. You know, because you know,
yeah.
Although Belinda, you've known me forever. You know, I'm from San Antonio, but you know, I'm not a Latino.
And again, I think it's okay to do it. What do you think?
But I think it is just educating, and so making certain that the origin of the celebration is at least part of, you know, the event, the events that happen, so that it's not completely, you know, commercial. And I think that by having, you know, these different artists who are doing the altars, usually the organizations and the artists, they do respect the symbolism behind the altars.
All right, we're going to take a 1 minute break. We're going to come back, get some more phone calls. Numbers 210-614-8980. If you want to call in, tell us about how you mark the Day of the Dead. We'd love to hear from you. 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. We're celebrating that now and tomorrow. It is an opportunity to remember your lost ancestors who have passed on and be joyful about their experiences, what they have done for you, and their journey as it continues. This is a deep, rich part of the Latino experience here in pre-Columbian, pre-conquest in Mexico as well. And I'm joined by Dr. Norma Cantu from Trinity University, a well-known writer and poet, and she's the Murchison Professor of Humanities and Modern Languages there. Belinda Menchaca is the Education Director at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. And here is a caller, Regina. And Regina, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm Regina Cooper. And I just wanted to tell you a quick story about what happened to me when I was living in Italy. I lived in a small city of Urbino. My heritage is Mexican. And we were about five American students, and we thought Halloween was pretty much everywhere. We never thought we'd be the only ones. And, of course, some of my classmates went dressed hippies, nerds. And, of course, my Mexican heritage, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go kind of Dia de los Muertos. The whole skull on the face, black and white clothing. I was in a full suit that was black and white. And I get to this bar, and they're like, everybody was like astonished of how dressed I was. And I told them, well, it's because this is kind of normal. Like, we dress up, we paint our faces. And of course, I ended up winning the Halloween costume because I was apparently the only one dressed in the whole bar.
And people were receptive. They thought that was awesome.
Yeah, they thought it was awesome, and most of them didn't really know exactly what it was, and I had to explain that we build these altars, and we honor our ancestors through these altars. We put food, and you could even put notes and stuff like that. It's just to remember our heritage and the way we live.
Regina, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. Do you see, Dr. Norma Cantu, that Day of the Dead will spread around the world?
Definitely, especially with the commercialization that's going on.
Someone can make a buck,
that,
yeah.
That we're kind of not accepting, right?
Okay, well, there's the commercialization, but yeah. With that comes also all the good things. I think that there are valuable psychological
sure.
benefits to actual Day of the Dead altars and the way that we're going to see your relatives. And mm-hmm. and it is keeping your past parents and uncles and tias and abuelitas in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're no longer just off to the side, but you still have them with you.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that it has survived, because that desire to have that connection with those who have gone on is still there for all cultures. And I was saying earlier before the show that there are altars, societies that have altars. You know, in other societies, you'll find the same tradition, like in some Asian communities. And the arco that you put on the altar, for example, it's a homecoming. It's a welcoming arch that you put up with flowers. And so that is very common in Asian cultures as well. So there's some kind of diffusion of the tradition that I think is going to grow. And it's going to, this is me putting on my predictor's hat, saying that it is going to grow because many, the diaspora of Tejanos and Mexicanos will bring it alive. I saw it in Kansas City.
Okay, let me get some callers here. We got plenty of them. Here's Nick. Nick, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I just wanted to comment on the whole cultural appropriation issue of Dia de los Muertos. I'm born and raised in San Antonio. I'm a proud Latino. But my family has always had the attitude of inclusion. Like, if we're having a party or a fiesta or something, it's always, there's never enough people. The more, the merrier. So I think that using Dia de los Muertos to educate and having all these public altar and ofrendas to include as many people as possible, especially on a day that's used to remember lost loved ones, is a beautiful thing. I love what all the artists and all of the contributors have been talking about. Absolutely beautiful.
Nick, so, thank you for the call, Nick. I'm going to get another caller in. This is Romelia. Romelia, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you. And hello to Belinda and to Norma.
Hi, Romelia.
How is that? 1985, I remember very well because that's when I moved to San Antonio from Austin to go work at the Guadalupe. And the in Austin, Silvia Orozco and Juan Pablo Gutierrez, that was the first major exhibition that I saw of altares. Just as a sense of, Norma, you were saying maybe 30 years ago. So I think that's about 32 years ago.
Right.
But I also remember as a kid that we would wait every year for our cousins to come in from all parts of Texas to go to the cemeteries where our grandparents and great-grandparents were buried. That was a really exciting thing. But I want to mention Juan Pablo Gutierrez in San Francisco right now is leading, I think, the 33rd procession of Dia de los Muertos through the Mission District. It's huge and it's amazing. So I just want to thank you for giving it this attention and distinguishing it from Halloween.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. I want to get more callers in because we have many. This is Mike. And Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I just had a couple of things to say. I just wanted to say that, first, I've been making altars for Dia de los Muertos, I think, since I was about 10 years old, and that was because when I was in elementary, our library read us a story about it, and I think that was really my first time being kind of thrust into it. But also, I just wanted to thank y'all for pointing out the small details in it. So, like, pointing out that the levels on the altar are that they signify, you know, the various levels that the spirit has to go through. Because, to be honest, I was just kind of assuming that you put the levels there because of the pyramids and stuff. So I just wanted to thank y'all for pointing that out and keeping everybody enlightened with.
All right, Mike, thank you for that call. And here's Phil. And Phil, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. We're talking about El Dia de los Muertos.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to reference something that Dr. Cantu said. And incidentally, Doctor, we have a common last name. Anyway, my wife and some of her siblings, besides celebrating Dia de los Muertos for her late mom, They also celebrate her birthday and Mother's Day by going to the cemetery and setting up some flowers, of course, and sometimes they'll take food, and they'll take maybe a portable radio or something, and some CDs to play some of her favorite music and things like that. And they've been doing that, well, ever since she passed away very many years ago. And I just thought that something that you said about it's a celebration of not only, you know, a person's death, you know, but also their life and the things that they used to like when they were alive, and maybe just getting together and having a good time in their honor. You know, I think that's quite true in what my wife and her siblings did.
Okay. Phil, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And so Belinda Menchaca, Education Director for the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, what are some of the events that are happening at the Guadalupe?
Well, I know that there's a lot of events all throughout town. I know that this evening the Esperanza Center is actually having an event, as well as at the Pearl. Tomorrow we have an event for school children where we're actually talking about Dia de los Muertos and the symbolism behind the celebration and the altars, but it's through a dance performance. There are also events at the Instituto Cultural de México and other places, San Anto Cultural Arts, as well. We'll be having a celebration. And I remember it wasn't that long ago that you would say, you know, we're celebrating Day of the Dead, and people were still a little bit not certain about what you were talking about. And now it's a little bit more, you know, part of our
And you have the altar exhibition that's going to be running through November the 9th.
Yes. We at the Galleria Guadalupe, we have our altars up that people can visit Monday through Friday.
Do you think San Antonio should own Day of the Dead for the United States, that we should be the Day of the Dead capital of the U.S.? That we should make it like this is, you know, we should really embrace it and make it part of our city's identity as much as Fiesta.
I wish that the city would support it and promote it. Other cities have done that, and I know it's not just here. I mean, you heard Romelia talking about the celebration in San Francisco. It's in L.A. It's everywhere. I don't know that we could own the celebration.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, but like make a strong connection.
Absolutely. Our heritage is there, and our ancestors are here, and we should celebrate and honor them. And I think a citywide celebration would do that. In the past, David Zamora Casas has established one of the most beautiful, in my view, altares in front of San Fernando Cathedral. This year he has it at the Institute of Texan Cultures, and it's five altars set up, all with the San Antonio theme, because it's based here. So I think we do, on some level, already do that, but I wish that the powers that be would get behind it and promote it and make it one of the biggest celebrations in town.
But we need some people power behind
Absolutely.
That, and maybe some of our the help of some of our ancestors. So we have the smoke, and we have the marigolds, and we have the colorful paper craft, and we have the sugar skulls. All of this iconography, all these items, artifacts, very important to
all of them symbolize something. Yes.
Yeah, and so take an extra step to figure out why the smoke. The smoke leads the ancestors back to where you are. All these things, they all mean something, and it's all part of the beautiful story of Day mm-hmm. of the Dead. And I want to thank both of our guests for coming up this afternoon to help us learn about this. Belinda Menchaca, Education Director for the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, and Norma Cantu. She is a writer, poet, and a Murchison Professor of the Humanities, Modern Languages, and Literature at Trinity University. I'm David Martin Davies. Have a great Day of the Dead.